Our first scripture reading is from Psalms 37, 1 through 9. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of the wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land, enjoy security, and take delight in the Lord. He will give you your desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and justice of your cause, like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their ways, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and you will enter it, and you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it, as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise joyfully with loud voices for all the deeds and powers that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, all glory to the highest in heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout." This is the word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. And I need to ask a favor of someone. Lori, would you be willing to go into my office? And there's a book on my desk called Circle of Grace, if you can bring it to me. It's one of those afternoons, I guess. Left my palm in my office. I left the book in my office. So I started watching a new show recently on Apple TV called Shrinking. And it is full of endings and beginnings that make the characters have lots of contradictory feelings. A man who lost his wife in a fatal car accident grieves her loss intensely, but then a new relationship emerges. A man who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's knows that the way he has experienced life is ending as he lives with the deepening symptoms of this disease. At the same time, he's able to make a point to heal some relationships, reviving them and allowing for new beginnings. A stay-at-home mom struggles to find her purpose after her third son goes to college. Thank you so much. But an opportunity to invest in a food truck arises and gives her a new focus. She also revives her interest in photography. A woman who is living into being single after her marriage ends finds new love. A young man who fought in Afghanistan struggles with anger issues, but finds healing through therapy, new friendships, and a new purpose through cooking. In every ending, there is also a new beginning. Endings are not always easy, but God's word continually shows us that the end is never really the end. God is always working. And as we move through this coming week, we are reminded that death and endings never have the final word. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we hear this scripture at the beginning of Jesus' last week on earth, we hear a story of contradictions. We begin worship by waving palms and singing hosannas, but we will end the service knowing that we'll return Thursday for a remembrance of the Last Supper. This event of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a humble donkey most likely occurred at the same time as Roman soldiers rode into the city, following Pilate, who would be upon a regal steed. He led the troops into Jerusalem to assure that there would be order and peace as thousands of pilgrims descended upon the city for Passover. It was a time of celebration, but also one of tension and fear. The Hebrew people gathered to remember their liberation from Pharaoh at the Seder meal of Passover, but they arrived in a city occupied by Rome. Although they were no longer slaves, they were still experiencing oppression. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, which he knows would be an ending of his ministry and his life. And yet his arrival also signals a beginning of something new. No one else is really clear on what that is yet, but he knows. And it is the beginning of a week that will ultimately change the world. Jesus' journey is similar to that of the pilgrims walking the Camino de Santiago. As pilgrims arrive at Santiago de Compostela at the end of their Camino, their walk, they will be experiencing a new beginning. They are no longer the same people as they were when the journey began. And hopefully you are a different person in maybe a small way now as compared to the beginning of the Lenten season. The text today is from the Gospel of Luke, which differs from Matthew, Mark, and John in several ways. First of all, I don't know if you noticed, but there is no mention of palms by Luke. The disciples and others threw their cloaks on the ground, forming a makeshift red carpet, if you will, to honor Jesus, but there aren't any palms waved. Secondly, the word Hosanna isn't mentioned either. What these accounts hold in common are the donkey, the quoted scripture, and Jesus. Those gathered along the path Jesus rode worshiped and honored him as a king, but Jesus' kingship would be very different from the king that they wanted or imagined. He would not triumph like a typical earthly king. He would not use violence or slander. He spoke words of love. He healed people and sought to liberate them from that which bound them. He rode into the city on a donkey without any pomp or circumstance. And he came to the city for a meal of remembrance and to celebrate God's liberation of God's people, not for a chorus of praise and support for a political movement. Jesus knew that the end of his life was coming and that new beginnings were in the works. They were beginning to bubble up. The people most likely hoped for an ending of Roman occupation and the beginning of the Messianic age. What Jesus brought was something totally different and unexpected. If you think about it, endings are almost always the beginning of something new. Graduation from high school or college is the end of one type of education, but it also signals the beginning of something else. A further education, perhaps entering the military, or the beginning of a new job, or entering a new career. Ending a relationship often means that a new one will emerge, or that life will open up in a new way. A child moving out of the house means that the parent-child relationship ends in one way and begins a new season of letting go, and sometimes a renewing of one's marriage. The end of winter brings the beginning of spring. The end of one year is the beginning of another, and we could go on and on. But as I said, today is both a beginning and an ending, as any journey or pilgrimage is. The psalm is such an appropriate one for today. Just imagine those who witnessed Jesus riding into the city and would soon witness the evils of the Roman state and the fear of the religious elite. There were mixed feelings among God's people about who Jesus was, and that would play out even more clearly in the days ahead. But the psalm assures God's people that evil and evildoers will not have the final say. These words, the psalmist's words, are the only way, and many other scriptures, of course, are the only way that I find that I can continually move through these days of war, of financial instability for so many people, and the fear of people different from us that seems to be perpetuated by some of our national leaders. It's discouraging. And that's only one level of our lives, right? That doesn't include our individual challenges, the illnesses, aging, and deaths of those we care about. And it doesn't include the nations and people around the world facing such great need. But the psalmist reminds us to let go of our anger, not to worry, and to trust in God. Those who were in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago would have clung to these words as well, putting their hope in the Lord in the midst of such a difficult time. We've been utilizing the film The Way throughout this series, and the characters, Tom, Yost, Sarah, and Jack, have all focused on some challenge during their pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago. The resources for our worship series state this about their arrival. The companions on the way round the corner and take in the first sight of the Cathedral of St. James, their destination in the distance. The statue there that depicts ancient pilgrims having the same experience in this spot reminds us that we all round a bend and see hoped-for destinations in the distance at some points in our lives. There is a thrill and a sadness in that moment, as it has become clear that the journey has brought us so close to the destination and will soon be over. Or is it? This is what we see all over the faces of the band of pilgrims in the film. They have traveled more than mileage together. So will they be able to achieve their hoped for outcomes that they have clung to during the pilgrimage? Are they beginning to realize that the journey itself does not magically grant wishes, but rather amplifies the struggle with that very desire? And are we ready to face the fact that those expectations may not be the resolution of what really ails us? What we thought was the purpose of our pilgrimage has perhaps changed along the way. Tom has been told it is important to continue on to the sea after visiting the cathedral. And so perhaps the limitless horizon of the sea is the true vision of the future. What do the pilgrims who have arrived in Jerusalem see? Do they simply focus on their family gathering for the Seder meal? Do they focus on the fact that they're there to bring an offering to the temple? Or do they stop for the Jesus parade and wonder what the future might hold as they hear these onlookers shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Can they see that a political king is not the answer to their challenges, but that this spiritual one riding on a donkey just might be? We know the rest of the story. Those pilgrims did not know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus' end will be a new beginning through the resurrection and the birth of the church. So it's a day of contradictions. Today began with shouts of joy, but we enter a week that will end in grief and devastation. So I want to share this blessing as I close today, which I think encapsulates the contradictions and the mixed feelings of today. It's called Blessing That Becomes Empty as It Goes. It's by Jan Richardson. This blessing keeps nothing for itself. You can find it by following the path of what it has let go, of what it has learned it can live without. Say this blessing out loud a few times, and you will hear the hollow places within it, how it echoes in a way that gives your voice back to you, as if you had never heard it before. Yet this blessing would not be mistaken for any other, as if in its emptying, it has lost what makes it most itself. It simply desires to have room enough to welcome what comes. Today, it's you. So come and sit in this place, made holy by its hollows. You think you have too much to do, too little time, too great a weight of responsibility that none but you can carry. I tell you, lay it down, just for a moment, if that's what you can manage at first. 5 minutes. Lift up your voice in laughter, in weeping, it does not matter. And let it ring against these spacious walls. Do this until you can hear the spaces within your own breathing. Do this until you can feel the hollow in your heart where something is letting go, where something is making way. Amen.